It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the film talk show that sounds like 70s sports radio. Welcome, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosie. Show is available as a podcast, it's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which we are going to update very soon at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you heard is Kobe Slagle.
Mm-hmm.
Still picking out the menu for Super Bowl? Or you got an extra week?
Got a week.
Okay. See where the mood takes you?
Yeah.
Good, very good. And by the way, Kobe will be posting on the blog, I think it was Morning Edition, or All Things Considered, one of those, but it was a great breakdown of a trailer of a film that we're going to be discussing on today's show. So we'll get to that. I'm going to be chatting with filmmaker Alex Lambert in a little bit. But first, in studio, because it's been too long, and he's back, of MarkDubeck.com fame, Mark Dubeck. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, what's going on? You know, it's a tough job running that thing.
And Mark, I can't believe you got it. You got it, as opposed to Mark Dubeck 3.
I mean, there's so many people that wanted to be a part of that site, but it's me.
It's all you.
So it's incredible. Hey, nice to be here.
Good to have you, man.
Hope you guys are doing well, and I hope you enjoyed the movies this week that you got to see.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that I didn't. So.
Okay, because I already know what he saw.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is that time of the year because the Academy Award nominations came out, and so there's half of the theaters are Oscar-nominated stuff and films that got Oscar recognition, which are getting a wider release, which we're still waiting on. They're not happening this week. In fact, if you go to our colleague Ed Johnsonat in Nouveau, you can see a review of a film that was supposed to open this week, but they pushed it back to next week. So if you're getting prepared, like Kobe's preparing his menu, you can read the review of A Most Violent Year and then get ready to see it next week.
Yeah, that's well. You know, how about Still Alice? Everyone's like, still.
We're
what?
Still waiting, you know, on. Still waiting on, right. Still Alice. Still waiting on Mr. Turner, the Mike Lee film.
But everybody just keeps asking. You know, they want to see his performance. It's like nobody's seen the movie.
Exactly. So we're still waiting. It'll get here.
Yeah.
So those films are out, and then there are films that, well, there are some films that open in January for a reason, because the studio's got to put something out there to fill the seats. So we have Strange Magic, which apparently it's an animated Lucasfilm feature inspired by A Midsummer Night's Dream. So Kobe's not going.
I was inspired not to see that.
Nice. Well, very good, Mr. Shallot. That's nice. Because it's punny. But I'm going to let you start because, ladies and gentlemen, a few weeks ago, I'm setting up Mark on this. A few weeks ago on the show, we did do the old man rant where we want Johnny Depp to stop working with Tim Burton and stop looking and dressing weird and act like a normal person. That being said, the AV Club in The Onion this week had a highlight. I think it was Accent Free and No Scarves, 9 regular performances from Johnny Depp. That being said, Mordecai opened this weekend, and Mark, you saw it.
Yeah.
Is there anything that Austin Powers didn't bring up in this film? Spy comedy is kind of a strike one already.
Turned in my review to do THR.com. I do reviews there. So I just kind of turned. You touched on just about every point that I wrote about this week. You know, for me, I long for the roles where Johnny Depp is just playing a normal guy, which we've discussed. I mean, it was no surprise, and I see this comedy coming out where he's playing another character where he's sort of hiding behind a disguise, if you will, you know,
and a Rolly Fingers mustache.
Yeah, exactly. Which is the mustache itself gets way too much play in this film.
Really, more mustache bits than A Million Ways to Die in the West.
I would say it's about equal.
Wow, there's a double feature nobody wants.
Yeah, so I love Johnny Depp though, regardless of if I happen to look back at all of his films, and I don't know, I didn't know there, I didn't count nine, but I thought of my three favorites were Donnie Brasco, The Ninth Gate, and Blow, where he's just basically playing a guy and he's just normal.
Well, it's funny you mentioned, because of the nine, and Cope, can you pull that up? I think I got them all, but it's funny because it talks about accents, but he sort of has one in Donnie Brasco, but that's a more down-to-earth performance, as you're measuring. Nick of Time is on there, the John Badham thriller. And part of it was, he goes, he doesn't get to be crazy because Christopher Walken's in it, and he gets to do the crazy stuff. Finding Neverland. Donnie Brasco, as you mentioned, really solid stuff. Gilbert Grape.
Yeah, but he also, that was an odd film. He was sort of an odd, but at least it was a little more normal, not hiding
or, the
mask.
Or at the very least, working with Tim Burton.
Yeah. What I'm kind of saying at this point is I think it would be almost more artful and more interesting and more of a stretch for him to play a romantic comedy. Chocolat was like his only romantic lead, I think. And I interviewed him for that, and he didn't like the fact that I called it the romantic lead. He said, I never thought about it in those terms.
Wow.
He's always running from the spotlight, running from being good looking. He always is trying to.
Dusty scarves and sunglasses.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody try harder to be unattractive, and he's still attractive. It's impossible to.
I resemble that remark.
So with that all said, I long for the days where Johnny Depp is doing. A real detective on the streets of New York, and he's trying
not
to solve
this.
A murder, No, this is not it. And, it's just, other than Paul Bettany being his manservant, which I found that hilarious, and I would actually like to have my own manservant. This one's a cool manservant.
Stop looking at us.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder, because I like Paul Bettany, and I wondered if he was going to be, the Watson to...
That's exactly what it reminded me of, yeah.
Is he muscle? Is he...
He's very... successful with the women, as you could say. So he'll, give him a moment, and he's off with some hot girl. So plays that.
In real life, he's married to Jennifer Connelly, That's way to go, big shooter.
Yeah, he's sort of a tough guy stud in this that protects and looks after Johnny Depp's character, Charlie Mordecai. So there's a lot of talent. Gwyneth Paltrow's in it as his wife. She's actually pretty good in it. There's a lot of great actors kind of wasted on this. Aaron Rodgers, love interest is in the movie as well.
Ewan McGregor?
Yeah, Ewan McGregor. Yeah, but he's, another great guy that's sort of wasted here. What is her name? The guy Aaron Rodgers, or the girl Aaron Rodgers is dating.
Cope, do you know who that? Have you looked up quarterback girlfriends? Don't look that up.
No, she's Olivia Munn.
She's fun.
Yeah, there's just Jeff Goldblum is in it. Just a little small bits and roles. But overall, it's like sort of a slapstick. He's doing his best like that. I call it, for lack of a better, like a Charlie Chaplin-esque performance of his, which he does quite often, always trying to sort of be quirky and, it's just like sort of English humor.
Does the ghost of Peter Sellers have anything to worry about?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
But yeah, so, for me, this was just a very average film that will remind you of Austin Powers, a guy globetrotting around, trying to be funny in character, and it just didn't work. And it's, unless you're a huge British humor and Johnny Depp fan, I think you'd be disappointed. So.
Okay. There is that. Cobb, any Fair Sweet Bianca interested in this at all?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Does she have to be in the mood for it? Sorry, running joke.
Don't know.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, because A Most Violent Year got pushed back, and with my daily existence as a film guy, I'm in rehearsals for a show right now, which means the evening screenings I can't attend. So, like a lot of folks, I'm at the first screening I can, 10:30 in the morning on a Friday with the old, the unemployed, and the weird, like I was today. And I thought I was seeing A Most Violent Year, but they pushed that back.
So we can't talk about that today?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Well, the IFJ named Jessica Chastain Best Supporting Actress. So unless you want to come on the show next week, what did you think of Most Violent Year?
I just thought it got a lot of a buzz, especially her performance. And, they were trying to liken the lead character like a young Al Pacino. And, for me, the film was very average. And I actually ended up watching it twice. I had the screener for – and I just – it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And
uh-huh.
I think it's getting way overblown as some kind of fantastic film. She basically it takes a turn on as kind of gets tough with her husband, and that's like the big thing.
Macbeth type thing.
Yeah, you know, she's kind of one-ups him. So anyway, overall, I think it's way too much buzz on that movie.
Well, I'll give buzz next week.
Okay. Talk about it more in depth.
That's fine. Opening in theaters today, and this is it was brought up, and NPR did a piece on the trailer for this film itself. And it kind of broke down. I remember it was like 20 or 25 things that are just hysterical about this trailer. And it's the new Jennifer Lopez thriller, The Boy Next Door, which she stars in and co-produced. Mm. And, Cobe, do you have the audio for this?
We do.
Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. They're kind of serious.
It's been 9 months, and you haven't backed the divorce yet. He cheats with his secretary every time he goes to the office.
Have you ever made a mistake?
You ready, Mom?
Pull it out, baby!
I got it.
And you are?
Noah. I'm staying next door with my uncle.
You're not from around here?
No. It was this accident with my folks.
I'm gonna finish up in Monroe High.
My mom teaches there, actually.
Seems too cool to be a teacher.
Dad, you're beautiful.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have.
It's okay. It's the nicest thing anybody said to me in a long time.
Well, then I'm glad I said it. When you lose some of your life, you start to feel like you don't belong anywhere.
I have to go.
Please don't go. No judgments. No rules. Just us.
Look, Noah, I was feeling vulnerable. I'm the adult. I wasn't thinking clearly. I can't do this.
Hey, Noah, you want to stay for dinner?
Hey, Mrs. Peterson. Tell them what happened this weekend.
What happened?
Oh, there was a big thunderstorm. You guys didn't get it up there?
No, dry as a bone at the lake.
Well, it got pretty wet here.
Principal Warren.
Good news. I've approved your request for Noah Sanborn to join your class.
Kevin, did you send an email from my account?
Sounds like you've been hacked.
You should really change your password.
Your father seems to be around a lot now, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Don't forget that he walked out on you.
Honey, I need you to stay away from Noah, okay?
See you at school.
Sorry, guys. Oh, my God.
What's going on?
I'm gonna lose my job, my son, my life.
I can't do that, Claire. I live next door.
Do you want to take a cookie for the road?
I love your mother's cookies.
It was wet around here all weekend.
Boy, yeah, and a cookie crack. I thought film sociology only cookie jokes.
Was the heavy breathing coming from Kobe, or was that from the...
No.
Did you guys even pick up on that through the first half? The heavy breathing in the background?
Yeah, okay. I did.
That's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, the thing about the film, it's directed by Rob Cohen, who gave us Triple X and Dragon, the Bruce Lee Story. It's written by Barbara Curry, who's got a short film to her credit and another film that's under post-production. And I will say this. I want to see it again with a bunch of friends and a bunch of cocktails. It's kind of fun bad. Like,
that kind of movie.
Like The Room bad. Now, Cobe, I know you are not a scary movie, freaky movie person.
No, I am not.
We've discussed this. In fact, this is, I think, the weekly
That's
reminder.
That's established, yeah.
Okay. It's just...
Those of you just now joining us, Cobe doesn't like freaky stuff.
Or scary stuff.
Yep.
Same thing. And I understand that. But this is a throwback to the 90s stalker thrillers. I mean, you know, today, of course, you have Conjurings and Killer Dolls and Paranormal Activity and all that, and all other spoof titles where you throw all the titles put together. But this is an attempted throwback to Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Mark Wahlberg movie.
Yeah, Fear. Yeah. I wrote that down. Whispers in the Dark, The Crush. Single White Female, Jade, Never Talk to Strangers, yeah. Guilty of Sin, all god-awful bad erotic thrillers. And this is what it wants to do. But it would have been nice if we were in on the joke. It looks like they you know, especially with the line about it being wet and there, Jennifer Lopez
so
cookies.
There's that same tongue-in-cheek aspect.
No tongue-in-cheek in this. They're taking this deadly serious.
Oh, okay.
And it's also the idiot girl plot, where just one bad choice, whether you're running into an empty house or it's a darkened house, or you know, characters and plot points can come and go for the convenience of what have you. You know, there's entering the basement where there's the printed out worship of Jennifer Lopez. And by the way, I wish my teachers in high school looked like Jennifer Lopez teaching classical literature, and her soon to be ex-husband was played by John Corbett. If you're cheating on Jennifer Lopez, you're an idiot.
I know a few guys that have, actually.
Right? No, we have not. And, of course, Ryan Guzman, whose character is supposed to be 20 and still in high school, but maintains that fine cinematic tradition of 27-year-olds playing high school students. It's like he's in a production of Grease. It's not subtle at all. Hits you over the head. You hear Kristen Chenoweth as a sassy sidekick. These are stuff that we watched 20 years ago, and I had to have cocktails for those, and I need them for this. I didn't want to see this at 10:30 in the morning. I want to see this with my buddy Laura Jansen with a pint of bourbon.
Let me ask you a question. So J-Lo produced this, and she's starring in it. What do you think her intention was with this film? To attract like the teen audience with a thriller with this guy's
For those who forgot Enough. And by the way, this makes Enough look like a Hitchcock film. Can you think of the last J-Lo film you watched?
I can't even think of it. Yeah.
There you go.
Wait a minute. Is that the one that was like sort of a thriller?
But that was like a deck. I think I read that on our old gig.
That's how long ago that was.
Kobe, could you look up Jennifer Lopez on IMDb and don't Google image?
On it.
I guess I thought she was in, but she hasn't been.
But why, she's been doing Idol stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, my daughter watches that, and unfortunately.
So you have to check in.
I do. Yeah. speaking of, though, in this film, I would like to ask you one very serious question.
Please do.
My girlfriend from high school, who's an actress out in Hollywood.
You did not date Jennifer Lopez.
No. She is the she played the mother of, what was it? What's that guy's name? The young guy, 27.
Ryan Guzman, yeah.
Yeah, she played his mother in the film. Can you rate her performance, or did she in any way stand out, or do you even remember?
There is one flashback scene, but I don't think she made the cut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because there is a thing about his character may or may not have had something to do with the death of his parents, but there's one flashback scene, but I don't think it is with the mother. It's with the dad. And
wow, she was cut out because that's interesting. She just wrote on my Facebook wall like, "Hey, have you seen it? Check me out a minute." So then
I might be mistaken, because there is, like I said, there's one flashback scene with a woman in a car. I was under the assumption it was not the mother.
Okay,
but anyway,
well, I was under the assumption she had a larger role in the film.
No. okay. Yeah, because the kid is living across the street from the uncle who conveniently disappears for a big chunk of the film, and then conveniently shows up to have a jump moment when Jennifer Lopez is, of course, breaking into the house to find the laptop that has the sex tape. Yes, there's a sex tape. And this was more fun than the Cameron Diaz movie. But just all of those plot points from those bad thrillers 20 years ago, just one right after another. So my guess is that they wanted to take a break from haunted houses and possessions and the found footage and the serial killers, and just give us an old school erotic thriller, which I already had my fill of that one in the 90s. I didn't need to revisit it without cocktails.
So you're not predicting that The Boy Next Door will knock off American Sniper at the box office then?
Oh, it's got a chance.
Yeah?
It's got a chance because...
Is this kid really like popular right now? I'm not really.
Ryan Guzman. Yeah. I looked up. I didn't know what else I had seen him in.
They're saying his name a lot out there, like he's somebody.
He gets to chew some major scenery in this. He has a very long scene with Ms. Lopez. Way to go, sir! But then the second half, of course, when the other shoe drops and he gets to take psycho crazy pills and play the baddie. So. Good for him on that, I guess. But man, this is fun bad. Don't see this sober.
Okay.
What would you like to know about Ms. Lopez?
What has she done movie wise before Boy Next Door?
Before Boy Next Door.
Yeah. What?
You want to go ascending
go
or
back.
Descending?
Yeah, let's go back.
Descending.
Descending. Okay. Parker.
Oh yeah, the Jason Statham film but nobody saw that.
Yeah,
that was actually decent.
Okay.
But what was that
did
from?
Did she have a big role in that?
That was 2013. Yeah.
So about a year and a half.
She was voice in Ice Age Continental Drift. What to expect when you're expecting,
2012. I didn't want to see that. Did you see that?
Did not even see
no,
it.
No, I didn't want to
see
that.
The Backup Plan.
Oh, that was bad. That was, yeah, that's not fun.
Who was that?
That was, because it was around the same time as I think it
was.
That
was 2010.
Who was yeah. to say who else is in it? I can't even remember that movie back.
Because I think there were two artificial insemination romantic comedies
yeah, that,
out at the same time.
Yeah, that was the other one with Jennifer Aniston, but The Backup Plan.
Yeah, I saw this one, and yeah, it's not fun.
Backup Plan, yeah, she's got top billing here. Alex O'Loughlin, Michaela Watkins.
Okay. Yeah, I must have
Anthony.
Missed
that. You're not missing anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was 2010. And then we, 2006, El Cantante, Border Town in 2006, An Unfinished Life in 2005, Monster
oh,
in
gosh,
Law
that,
in 2005,
oh,
Monster
was,
Law. Was
Shall
her, that
We
was
Dance?
Her
Jane Fonda.
Right around that was when she was sort of a little bit of a draw because of her name.
Yep.
Right.
Jersey Girl, Geely in 2003, Made
See,
in Manhattan,
so
Enough,
Made
in July's
Manhattan
Wedding Planner,
her, yeah. Oh,
Cell.
Yeah. See, it's been a while. So,
she was a voice in Ants?
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was. I saw that in the theater with the soon-to-be Mrs.
Out of sight,
you
turn Anaconda, Selena.
No, no, that, Jerry Seinfeld was the bees. Who was
yeah,
the
bee
was
movie.
The head ant.
There was ants, and it was up at the same time as
Bugs
Life.
Okay.
This is one.
Bugs Life was Disney.
Sly,
and
Gene
was.
Hackman, Sharon Stone, Woody Allen. Okay. Yeah, I think it was a DreamWorks one.
Sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They
Bugs
just
Life
back,
was Disney,
way,
and
so the long story short, it's been a while since we've seen anything of note from Ms. Lopez cinematically.
Well, yeah. I mean, it looks like there's been nothing of quality for a very long time, which. You know what I mean is just like there was an they went with a plan to try to make it successful. This seems a sort of a half shot. You know, they probably shot it for $10 million, trying to make $20 million. Or
maybe.
Something,
did you sell the page up? When did Enough come out?
Enough 2002.
Already. What?
Yeah, I think we actually reviewed this on the old
yeah,
station.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be right that exact time.
Yeah, because
yeah,
I remember because that was a rabid You Go Girl crowd, and it was just a bad revenge.
Wow,
thriller.
I can't believe it's that old. I was thinking,
yeah,
6 years,
but we have not aged.
No.
You have not. You have not.
You look,
my,
actually,
I've gotten
you look
gray.
I like your hair, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You were going for a more burly look the last time I saw you. Now it's a little more, I don't know, refined.
I appreciate that. I'm fooling people all the time. Anyway, so that's out there. Go see Oscar-nominated stuff.
That's out there. Don't see it, though.
Don't see it. Although I will say, like I said, Boy Next Door, have a few drinks, have a driver, have a designated driver or a cab.
Or you could go sit outside tonight at the IMA.
Nice setup there, sir. Yes. Of course, last week's show, we had somebody from the IMA. We had Scott on from the IMA to talk about the outdoor screening of Fargo. Mm. And it looks like, you know what? It's not
going to be horrible.
Not going to be terrible out. Not going to
no.
be tourable
nope.
outside.
That's not
so,
tourable.
So that is happening. What else is happening, Cope, since you're in transition mode there?
Yeah. I'm in transition mode tonight. Friday, January 25th, 6:30, IU Cinema down in Bloomington from 1968. We have Assemblage.
All right.
And follow that up at 9:30 tonight with Matt's favorite horror movie of last year, The Babadook.
Mm. Oh, very good. More people
I
need to see
that.
Yes. Did you like it?
I did like it. Yeah, I was surprised that it was as good as it was.
Again, a unique scary movie, Cobe. You still won't watch it.
Nope.
I might put that in the Silver Stakes game.
I wouldn't say that. I'm not exactly sure what happened at the end. I'd like to discuss that with you off show. So.
Oh, okay.
We're on show. I mean, it's
well, no, it's still out there. I want people to see it, but okay. But no, I kind of like the fact that there's about it kind of changed from a shift is you know is something wrong with the kid, and then is something wrong with the mom, or is the house haunted, or is it just a scary old book?
Yeah,
so I
exactly.
like those questions.
The scary book aspect is what I really enjoy, but I'm not sure that I fully understand exactly what it was trying to say at the end. But.
Well, when it's all said and done, did you still enjoy the experience?
Yes, that's what I mean. So yes,
well,
but I can see where people would watch it and go, now what just happened? You know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Speaking of that, can
yes.
I bring up one topic?
Please.
You mentioned all these award movies, you know,
yes.
kind of trickling into theaters. You know, you and I have screened most of them because
yep.
of
yeah,
our
so there's a
stuff.
Few. Thanks, Paramount and Warner Brothers.
Yeah, that we didn't. But I find myself explaining a lot to people because I selected Boyhood as my number one film. It was voted in Critics' Choice Awards is what
yep,
I voted
number,
for.
Number two on my list.
So I've, you know, people see it and I've gotten a lot of negative feedback from people that I think it's so great. Have you received any of that?
I have received some flack for that, and I tell them that they're cinema literate.
I just am a little surprised. I mean, I guess they're expecting a little more even film. I mean, it's basically dropping into this family's life.
It is dropping into the family.
You know,
so. It is.
Is it a great movie because it's a great movie, or is it a great movie because it's a great concept?
That's exactly
both.
What people have asked me.
I would say both because, first off, if it's Richard Linklater, so if somebody gives me Brushback, I'm like, this really shouldn't surprise you if you know Richard Linklater,
sure.
If you know the Before trilogy, if you know Dazed and Confused, if you know Bernie, if you know Scanner Darkly. The concept is great. The commitment is great. But I think it is a story. And that's the thing. It's not a movie family. It's not a cinema family. Even though you have Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette in it, I think people are expecting, I mean, like a big budget family film with all this turmoil. And it's not that. I mean, the kid has one of the most naturalistic performances. He's not a cinema teenager. He's not a smart aleck. He's not in a Disney series. I mean, you know, some years, as you know, with kids, some years they're outgoing, other times they're introverts. I mean, and this is also from day to day, week to week, you know, yet alone year to year. So I think to see the growth of that, it's more of a, yeah, like you said, more of a, you know, a peek into the life of, you're dropped into something as opposed to,
I think of it on,
you know,
a
orchestrated credits and, you know, establishing shots of the suburbs before we get the camera into their house, literally.
I think you have to be a certain kind of viewer. Like, you have some depth with what you want to see. Or I would think on a much grander scale. If I look back at my life, my parents were divorced and everything. The way that movie presents itself is how I kind of remember my life,
yeah.
If you will. Like, I remember only moments of certain crucial parts
and certain
good things and bad
certain
things,
characters
and
come and go.
Yeah,
in some case, Patricia Arquette's husbands or boyfriends come and go.
Right. Certain things stand out about
right.
my life. And it's kind of almost like he didn't mean to do that, but the way the film was shot, it is how people look back at their life. You know?
Exactly.
Kind of cool, so.
And you give this explanation to them, and you know, they still kind of wrinkle their nose at you.
Yeah, I've got a lot of that, and I've been disappointed by that because I took my family to see it when it was at the theater. I took my kids.
How'd they like it?
What's weird is, see, my kids have some, I think maybe because I've trained them, but I mean, they liked it.
He has them run sprints.
My daughter was a little puzzled. You know,
I want you to see this film and then run to the theater and back.
I have forced them to listen to what I consider good music. And good films throughout their life, even when they weren't ready yet for certain things, just because I can, darn it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I see your Facebook posts.
Yeah, I know. Actually, yes, Lynn and Emma still want to see it. Emma especially wants to see it. So, and she just knows it's the School of Rock director. Yes,
oh,
I mean,
right.
Yes, that's
what
exactly.
a great movie that was. Yeah.
It's the dad from The Shining.
That's my that's an actual quote from my daughter. Yeah, Jack Nicholson is the dad from The Shining. I'm like, honey, we need to fix that, and she's like, nah, I'm good. Like, will you stop?
Good with that.
Yeah,
that's fine.
One flew over to Cuckoo's Nest. She goes, oh, it's the dad from The Shining. Aw, honey, come on.
That's how
now.
I refer to him as well.
So no, go. I mean, and now of course it's out on DVD and Blu-ray. But no, keep pushing it. You know, let them strain.
Okay, one more question on
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Do you feel, though, in a year with stronger, I don't think this is a huge, strong year for films.
I didn't really feel that way either.
Okay, so do you feel like in a year where maybe there were a couple, like, no-brainer, huge, like, this is more of an art project type film, do you think it would have just got a nod and then something? I feel like there wasn't anything that really was better. I mean, what, you know, do you know what I mean by that? Like,
I
it's
get
not
you.
A strong year, so it's kind of like this movie's never been done before, and it's cool and it's different, so we're just going to vote it in. You know?
Well, I don't think it's I'm gonna parry back at you. I think it was a particularly strong year because I look at the films that don't make my top 10 and went, damn, wow, some films like Foxcatcher and A Most Violent Year and The Drop. Which is
I
out
was on
DVD
here. That's
Blu-ray
the last time I was here.
I know,
which is
so, and now it's full circle because it's
that
out
was in my top
10 on stores.
And a lot of people didn't see it.
So, you know, if I remember right, because it's been a few weeks, but Life Itself was my number one. Boyhood, Whiplash, Wild, Grand Budapest Hotel, Jodorowsky's Dune, and Tim's Vermeer, Imitation Game. I think those are all really strong films, and the number of films of smaller films like Locke with Tom Hardy, there's
some of those are film critic movies though.
So
like
what?
Well, what I mean
yes,
is, it,
and they made no, my and they made and, the film critics list,
and I agree that it was a strong year, like with how many good ones. But when I had to pick the top, that's where I'm.
Oh,
talking
and,
about.
And Guardians.
It was kind of like anybody could have been first, second.
I will
third,
say
you know?
I will say that there are some, yeah. And I think the summer was better because I will say when I hear people say it was a good year or a bad year, I always tend to my first response is, was it a good or bad year at the multiplex, or was it just good or bad overall? Because for me, this summer was better than last summer because my three favorite big films of the summer, Guardians, Godzilla, and Fault in Our Stars. And at the same time, Jodorowsky's Dune, Tim's Vermeer, and Locke, and The Drop all came out in the summer as well. Life Itself. I think it was a strong year. Is it a film critics list? Well, yeah, it's my list. But I always say, look, I don't want to hear people, and this is you, my lovely listeners, of if you go to the multiplex and you don't see anything, then go to the art house. And if you can't see anything at the art house, then look for it on Netflix. And if you can't find anything there, I can't help you.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, it's
go to TCM
with Locke,
and read a book. Yeah, read a book. And we'll create book sociology, which I keep scoffing at all the time.
Have you seen Inherent Vice?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I will say there's a number of films that I know they were kind of pushing for award screeners that I liked, but I didn't love. And Inherent Vice was that. Birdman was that.
I don't even, other than someone that is into drug films and really,
not
into
show.
Like Pulp Fiction style, which I love. But I mean, Inherent Vice, I had a tough time. You know, I could recommend that to anybody I know. It's such an odd film. But anyway,
I
thought it was very well. I actually voted for some of the costume awards and some of the things like that. Mm-hmm. I thought were fantastic.
I think
it's so odd.
I remember walking out of that, and some of us were kind of snarkily referring to it as Paul Thomas Anderson's Big Lebowski. Which I understand, but it's because, you know, Dopehead, solving a mystery. But it's more than that. I think Inherent Vice follows the detective genre more than Lebowski did. I mean, literally. No, seriously. Because, I mean, the dude just kind of wandered into his moment, like The Big Sleep. And this was...
It was a little more connected. This was so disconnected.
This had all the elements of the secretary, eccentric
billionaire. Donnie, you're out of your element.
Thank you. And, you know, the stock characters and plot points that happen in the traditional detective movie. The other one I compare it to, and this is a fun double feature, is Robert Altman's The Long Goodbye with Elliot Gould as Philip Marlowe, where it's set in the daytime. He's just kind of waltzing. I mean, it has all the detective elements, but it's a very laid back 70s performance because 70s Kobe?
Different time.
From Elliot Gould. So.
Well, and my point with bringing that up was that when I was saying to him I thought it wasn't a strong year for movies, I meant there wasn't four or five where I had a battle inside internally going, what's the best movie? There was
okay.
a lot, like Inherent Vice, I think, is an incredibly brave movie to make, and Locke is a fantastic movie, but I don't know that I could recommend that to most average moviegoers.
Sure you can.
I would, but then they'd come back on, it's another weird movie Dubeck told me to watch. You know, it's one of those things. That
I get that every week.
So.
About
well,
me, not you. But.
I try to think of the people out there, not just... You know,
ah!
It's my mistake.
The critic of the people.
I'm a critic. I'm a people.
The you are, people's critic.
Yeah. No, he is. We've talked about it. You're the regular guy.
I try to be.
I'm the irregular guy.
I try to think about others.
I'm all. I know the song
you're
is about
the Slayer.
Me.
Yeah.
I'm the sweater.
The Slayer.
Oh, the Slayer.
You know.
I'm Kerry King.
That's right. Oh, he's a good guitarist.
We were having guitar humor earlier. We are right on time, Kobe.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I got us off point.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
We should probably call that later.
All right.
Wait, there's other stuff going on.
I love that.
Oh,
call that.
God.
Ladies and gentlemen, the lady.
We'll get to that in a little bit. But anyway, finish IU Cinema, and then we'll pick up.
Saturday, January 24th, 3 o'clock, from 1957 in the City Lights film series, The Incredible Shrinking Man.
Very cool. That'll be fun on the big screen.
Follow that up at 6:30 in the Made in Indiana series, the 2015 Iris Film Festival, and then replaying The Babadook again at 9:30, and then Sunday, January 25th, we have at 3 o'clock Stranger by the Lake, and then at 6:30 National Theater Live is showing John.
John who?
John.
Legend, Hurt, Green.
It just says National Theater Live.
No.
John.
Lee Hooker. Okay.
And then, yeah, John Lee Hooker. No, and then Monday the 26th in the Martin Scorsese Presents Masterpieces of Polish Cinema series at IU Cinema, 7 o'clock Monday. From 1959, Night Train.
Not to be shown with Thunderbird. Terrible. All right, let's take a short break, and I'll have a chat with filmmaker Alex Lambert. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Socey. Mark Dubeck is hanging out along with Kobe Slagle and yours truly, and joining us on the line, because we need a break from talking about Mordecai and the Boy Next Door, is Alex Lambert, who is the writer-in-residence at Butler's Booth Tarkington, and there's a documentary called Mentor, which is being screened on January 27th at 7:30 p.m. at the Schrott Center for the Arts, and it's a free event. Hi, Alex.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Very good. Tell us a little bit about Mentor and how you you became involved with the project.
Well, it's a really sad story, so I don't know when you say taking a break, if it's such good, is it going to be relaxing for anybody, but it's a story about some teen suicides in Mentor, Ohio, that I learned about through some articles in the paper about two families who were bringing a lawsuit against the school because they felt that their children had killed themselves because they were being bullied. And when I looked into it further, there had been a number of suicides from bullying, and it was just a story that became more and more alarming the more you learned about it.
And how did you discover the news items itself?
I don't know. I look at a lot of newspaper things. The producers brought some of the stories to my attention, and we looked at a number of different cases. It wasn't just this case, but this case to me was of particular interest, and so it's the one that I decided to focus on.
And how long did you spend working on the film?
We worked on the film for, I would say, 3 years, but with, you know, some gaps. I mean, often with low-budget filmmaking, there's gaps where you have to kind of raise money. And also in this particular case, there was a lawsuit, and we wanted to see what would happen.
Can you tell us about the lawsuit?
It would be a spoiler.
Oh, it's a part of the film. I'm sorry. Oh, no. I don't want to give it away then. I wasn't sure.
No, I mean, I was waiting because I wanted to include that in the film.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry. We'll just move on that one. I would say, how was it as far as getting people to talk about this subject, as far as the families, schools, people in the community?
It was very difficult. I mean, the two families, it wasn't difficult. They were, you know, they wanted to be heard, and that's what I hoped to allow, you know, help them do. But the school, nobody would talk to me, and that's something that's difficult because, you know, I always want to represent everybody's point of view, but I think the kind of consistency the talk was their point of view, and, you know, it was so consistent, and it was so across the board, and we really tried to talk to anybody who would want to, and nobody chose to, so.
Okay. Now, I have a guest in here, Mark Dubeck, and you got a question for Alex?
No, I just wondered, did you, after spending time in the area, did you find, I'm actually from Mentor, Ohio. That's where I grew up.
Oh, really?
And went to high school.
I wish I could say I'm that clever, but I didn't set this up.
No, you didn't, but yeah, that's where my family still lives, and I visit there all the time, Mentor Cardinals. But how did you feel about, did you get the sense that this was sort of an isolated incident, or that this is something that's, you know, kind of going on a lot more in that community?
I did not feel like it was isolated, and I'm thrilled that you're on the line because, you know, a lot of Mentor residents have been really great and have contacted me. Unfortunately, usually the ones who are really happy about the film or the attention being paid to a problem there want to remain anonymous because they're having problems in the school or in the town. And I continue to get those emails, but I don't, you know, I feel like obviously there's a spectrum of citizens in Mentor, and a lot of them are amazing. So it's not an indictment of an entire town or even an entire school, but I did feel that in the case of Slajana especially, there was a real systemic failure on the part of this child to help her when there had been years of, you know, a paper trail. And then the surrounding other cases made me feel like it was bigger than just one incident.
I know there's already been comparisons to another documentary of a similar subject called Bully. Can you tell folks what, as far as the compare contrast?
I think, you know, I think it's great that Bully is out, and I think that there's plenty of room for more than one film about bullying. I think my kind of vision as a filmmaker is to be able to tell a very personal story, and it really follows the effect of grief in the wake of these suicides on these families, and so it's a little bit more of a personal portrait of these families and of this town. And Bully looks at a number of different cases, and I think that's great. It's just a different approach.
Now, are you going to be back in town for the screening at Butler?
Yes, I will be, and hopefully people will come out.
I would say, is there going to be a discussion afterwards or beforehand?
Yeah, there will be a Q&A afterwards. I want people to see it before talking so that they have a sense of what to ask.
And does the film have a website?
It has like a Facebook page, but not a web, website right now. But there is a Facebook page, and I think I guess you get on Facebook and just put Mentor in there, and it should come up.
Okay. Well, Alex, it's a free event, January 27th at 7:30 p.m. at the Schrott Center for the Arts, and Alex will be there, and we'll try to get as many people in there as possible.
Yeah, that'd be great. Please come out.
Alex, we really, really appreciate your time, especially on such short notice, and safe travels to you.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Alex.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Alex Lambert, Butler Booth Tarkington writer-in-residence and director of the film Mentor, which is running January 27th. That's a suburb of Cleveland.
Yeah. It's like I just heard her say it. Now, you know, the thing is, I haven't lived there since I was 18, but I do go back. So although these suicides like ring a bell a little bit, I'm going to want to look into this a little more.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, I'm going to go check out.
And I'd still rather talk about this than Mordecai and Boy Next Door.
Oh, boy. Yes.
So, no, thank you, Alex. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Got a couple other film notes. I know, Kobe, we're all right with IU. We got your alma mater covered.
Yep.
Okay, happening at the White Rabbit Cabaret on – today's the 22nd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tonight at
– today's the 23rd.
Pardon?
Today's the 23rd.
Well, this happened last night. Never mind. All right. Tonight – well, I'm doing the best I can. Tonight at 7:30 p.m. and tomorrow at 2 and 7:30 p.m. at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin from 1982. I saw this in the theater. It is one of the the acting equivalent of a heavyweight boxing match, Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan.
Ooh.
There are two examples I use of a cinematic heavyweight boxing match. And I think of there's two great ones. It's I think of Spencer Tracy and Frederick March in Inherit the Wind, the original. I also think of Philip Seymour Hoffman and Meryl Streep in Doubt. I think on the undercard is Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, Montalban, Shatner, There Will Be Blood. So probably the favorite of the Star Trek films. It's just major chewing, and it's a lot of fun. Just go check that out in beautiful Art Craft Theater in Franklin. Do you have so we got that covered. Do we have do you have the DVD intro, or should we just move on to it? You're not ready.
I'm not ready.
You're not ready for that.
No.
What else? Oh, you know what we haven't done a production meeting during the show.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. We'll just move on with that. So going out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, and good year for Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between Captain America.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Under the Skin. Guys are nodding in approval, and you know why. But also out was her big hit, Lucy, which there was a fun piece I think The Onion wrote in the AV Club about female action heroes, and Scarlett got her chance with this one. It's Luc Besson, and it's her finding out. It's like if you took Limitless with any Euro action film of the last 20 years.
It's something involving animals and species. I don't know.
Right, but it's she takes a drug that utilizes all of her brain matter, and she whoops tail and takes names. And the less you think about this film, the more enjoyable it
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. So I did that. I tried to think about it a little too
much.
Did
you really?
Well, I enjoyed Morgan Freeman's, the whole quest for more knowledge and using our brain. I find fascinating. In fact, I'd like to see a longer version of that movie. I thought the combination of the two made it interesting. But I think that a lot of people, again, I'm a man of the people, would be sort of turned off. And think kind of, what was that? Another one of those things. Although it was fun to watch her. Yes.
It was fun to watch her beat up people and fly through things. I think especially near the end where she's sitting in one spot in New York. Well, first it was Times Square, and then it turns into Connecticut, mm-hmm. where it goes back in time and back. And so apparently time began in the East Coast. Apparently ESPN was right. So there. Eastern sports program.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed it, and I think it was it was a perfect place for her to play an action hero because it was just sort of, she wasn't a superhero necessarily. It was something
just thrown into
happening.
A bad situation right. and making the most of it. But yeah, lots of fun. Just don't think.
There you go.
Also out this week is a film that's up for Best Animated Feature, The Box Trolls, which I liked it, but I didn't think it was Oscar worthy. But it's from the people that gave us Coraline and Nightmare Before Christmas, so it does have that kind of similar animation look of a small village in which there are box trolls, and the human world is afraid of them, even though they shouldn't. It's a storyline we've kind of seen before, whether it's Monsters, Inc. or Ernest and Celestine.
I think with the awards on animated films, there's only so many put out that are major ones, so they kind of all get put on there. And then,
Don't tell that to the Lego movie.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't pleased. I was bored with this movie, honestly.
And then, as you mentioned, it's full circle. You also are a Drop correspondent.
That's right.
Tom Hardy, really good year with Locke and Drop, and this was Rooney Mara and the last completed film of James Gandolfini.
Yes.
And it's based on a Dennis Lehane novel who gave us Mystic River and Gone Baby Gone.
It feels very much like those movies in pacing. And I, for the life of me, can't figure out. In fact, when I was making my top 10, I didn't even have it in. And then when I remembered it, mm-hmm. I thought, this is like one of the best movies I saw this year. And I can't believe nobody gave it any run, and it was not talked about. It wasn't even considered.
That's kind of weird. But then I think it was Fox Searchlight, and I think they probably put their focus on other things, which
I really feel like there could have been some. This could have had a lot of. Remember, you and I really liked the character actor that played sort of the bad guy.
Matthias. Because I just found Rustin Bone with
Mary Colley. Yeah.
So I'm going to watch that hopefully over the weekend. But yeah, it's a bar in which it's used for the drops of Quinnable shady practices of money. And Gandolfini was once a powerful influence in the neighborhood. Now he's just kind of a schlub. And Tom Hardy is trying to deal with what to do with the bar, what happens when money goes missing and the mob wants their money back and bad things are going to happen. Things will happen. Kobe, not hilarity. Not shenanigans.
I think if you watch back-to-back The Drop and Locke and aren't a huge fan of Tom Hardy after
you should
that,
be.
And to see what a great year he had, and he's not even in the mention for anything, which is incredible. Those are two of my favorite movies of the year, and I just think he can do anything. He's fascinating.
Well, we're going to find out next year when he plays Mad Max.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Very excited. And also the final new title. Oh, wait a minute. We'll get to that because on my list, but we have to get to films that Kobe won't see. Annabelle. Killer Doll movie.
Oh, no.
It's from The Conjuring. The Conjuring, right?
Yeah, from those folks. Yeah. No?
Nope. Not a chance.
Not at all.
Mm-mm.
Not even on a bet.
Nope.
You know I wouldn't do that to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not.
Now, you saw something that apparently came out this week. Not sure if it's in stores, but you saw it on demand.
Predestination,
right?
With Ethan Hawke. It's a sci-fi movie about time travel. And it's very, another one of those don't think too much. But I was, in fact, I went looking for, we were going to Vegas, so I was looking for something to download to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never even heard of it. So I think it's one of those films that was shot and then put straight to rental, on iTunes. That's where I got it. But I think a great, great movie and very, very interesting. Did some things that I haven't seen. And I would recommend it as a rental. So,
okay. Yeah. Now, you think they're releasing it now because of the Ethan Hawke nomination,
you know,
maybe?
Or what, did I, it look I like it was I meant on the to shelf? Look into how this happened, but I didn't find the time of my Vegas trip. But it is something it's worth looking into. And, in fact, I will do it after the show and put it on my website. But
which is markdubeck.com.
Yeah. I figured it was some B-movie, but it is a new release. And it was great. And Ethan Hawke was excellent in it. And it's such a cool idea. I mean, is there any movies about time travel that aren't good except for Back to the Future 3? I mean, time travel is such a cool concept. They do it very cool.
Has Fair Sweet Bianca inflicted about time on you yet? From the Four Weddings and from Richard Curtis from the Love Actually crowd? She will. Now that I've mentioned it, she will.
I can't remember.
You know, she'll be in the mood for that.
Hang on.
Okay. Now that we're looking at our electronics during the show,
I'm going to look up the story on this one.
Okay,
maybe I will.
The guy from Dear John and the girl from The Notebook, right?
Oh yeah, that was the vow. You're thinking that was the ad campaign for The Vow.
About Time
with
Channing Tatum.
Yeah,
no, that's About Time.
No.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right.
Hold
here.
On a second, I'm going to settle this.
I'm looking at it.
Mark,
right
talk about
here.
Your website while I settle this.
Okay. Well, on my website, I give away tickets to a lot of advanced screenings. I give away DVDs and occasionally throw in a movie review for you. That's what markdubeck.com
is
all about.
That is not Channing Tatum.
Who is it?
The Notebook, I know.
About Time. That's the guy with the redheaded kid from England. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, sir. Okay. But you're talking about the ad campaign of the guy from Dear John from The Notebook was The Vow. I'll go back to my seat now.
Okay, I think he was proven.
Once again, Dr. Jones, you have proven what you can have, I can take away.
Yeah. Here we go. Oh, it's okay. It's just a guy that looks like Channing Tatum from the side and far away.
Somewhere over there. I know that there. I think there are words
right
that
there.
Song.
Right there, Clark. That's what I'm talking about.
Is she into those? The Nicholas Sparks and Nicholas Sparks esque type novels. Is Angie into those, Mark?
No, she's not into. You know, we actually watched them. She rarely watches movies.
We're dying to get her on the show sometime.
Yeah. And I almost got her today. This is Where I Leave You, the Jane Fonda movie with all the
The family.
Yeah, we watched
because I want to know the family that spawns Tina Fey, Jason Bateman, and the dude from Girls.
Yeah, I will tell you this about watching with Angela. You know, it's never good. She actually was upset by that movie, so because it's kind of a dark, sad family tale. So
bonding through misery.
Moral of the story: I'm gonna stick to comedies with her because you know.
Okay,
it's never good.
It wasn't funny at all, or
there were funny aspects to it. I actually really like it. I love movies that make me think and laugh and feel sad as well, which added all of it. A little bit of. Did you see it?
No, I have not seen
okay.
it.
Okay, a very strange twist at the end, which could have been avoided, but. Okay, here we go. This movie, I don't know what's going on here with this Predestination.
Okay.
Because it's supposed to come out in the United Kingdom February 13th, 2015. So this could be a way to garner attention by just releasing it on iTunes in America right now. I don't know.
Right.
That's all I've got on it right now is that it's not even really out, but yet you can run it. So go do
that. He didn't buy it on East or West Washington Street. So don't recommend you do that either.
And it's received generally positive reviews from critics, 82% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, well, generally positive.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, this is a very weird thing. We need to do more research on this. Why is this movie coming out this way?
I don't know.
This could be something in the future. This could be a
Back to the Future.
No, but where we just watch movies at home and you just on pay per view,
or they're inserted into a chip in our back of our neck.
I have one actually.
So,
a potato chip.
Very nice.
Back to
or crisp if you're in England. as far as when your kids watch stuff, I mean, do you watch stuff with them or do you kind of alternate?
Well, I have no choice, but you know, like my wife works in it. So
exactly.
We
have no choice.
If I don't want to watch SpongeBob 24/7, I need to introduce them to PG movies from the 80s, which seem to work well. Even R movies sometimes will work well.
Yeah. Well, you're the parental guidance in the PG. So you're
R
there.
Movies from the 80s are like, you know, PG movies now as far as what they have, you know.
Except for Scarface.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm talking like I don't have a problem.
There's everything else, and then there's Scarface.
Yeah, I mean, although there's some of my son's video games are very similar to Scarface as far as violence. Grand Theft Auto, I believe, is just a video game version of Scarface.
Or so. Fast and Furious.
Yeah, all of that. But no, but I, in fact, tonight, and I'm not joking, you know what Angela wants to rent tonight?
What
Angela
is Angela
actually home tonight. She very much wants to, and unfortunately, I don't believe it's on Netflix, so I'm going to have to pay for it. She wants to rent with the kids. Ready?
Yeah.
Mr. Mom with Michael Keaton.
Good choice.
Yeah, so that's
very
what,
good
that's
choice.
Way
to go, Angela.
Yeah, she's excited about that.
That's
and,
cool.
You know, it's it's been a while since I've watched that. I also want to see one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yes.
Night Shift with Michael Keaton.
I was going to say, do you want to follow up with that?
This is the Michael Keaton like sort of time right now. He's back with Birdman and he's getting all
this attention. Yeah, and I think he's got a really solid chance because people have loved him for 30 years. And besides, the stunt casting that happens in Birdman, but he's really good in it. And we've liked him since Night Shift and Mr. Mom.
He was easily set up to be a joke in this movie. I mean, whereas his performance could have just been awful. Mm-hmm. And I think he hit it out of the park. I mean, when I saw it, I questioned, like, is this really going to be? He's fantastic.
That's good.
He's fantastic.
It's that, the fear, the backstage fear. I mean, he captured it really
Another
well.
Great, great, great movie. One of my favorites of the year, but again, one that I'm getting feedback when I recommend. The same type of thing. People didn't get it. A lot of the mainstream out there didn't.
Birdman didn't get it. The folks, you're.
I recommend, I'll recommend my favorites, and I get a lot of flack from, let's just say my neighbors, my family, friends, people I know, people on Facebook will write.
Let me come over. I'll talk to him.
Yeah, I know. That's all I'll say. Talk to Sosie. He'll explain it to you. Can you explain the ending?
Have a seat, neighbors. That's showbiz.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Kobe. This is obnoxious.
I guess the theme is today is the people. I think that's what it is.
Not People Magazine.
No.
Okay, that's fine.
Right.
Kobe, have you seen anything recently? Anything in the mood?
No.
Welcome to Inside Joke Theater.
No. See, I like film sociology, but sometimes it gets too inside jokey. I really need to work on setting up the double feature of Foxy Brown and Jackie Brown.
That is our goal. Big Jackie Brown fans here. We are here at Film Sociology. We are pro Jackie Brown
and Christoph Waltz.
And do we have to compile the list?
That's what we really need, man. We really need to compile the list.
Okay, so we'll have to work on that. And then we need an update of what makes Kobe ill.
Yeah.
There's a Christoph Waltz movie out on rental this week, too.
It is. Yeah, it was a futuristic one, which I had not seen. Yeah, Terry Gilliam.
What is this?
I'm not kidding. Yeah, he's right. It's look it up. Look up Terry Gilliam.
Something other. Yeah, but it's. I read an article about it in Wired magazine of all places.
Read Wired?
I do.
Okay.
I'm a tech guy. Hey, I'm also a marketing. You think I don't make all my money off of markdubeck.com?
Sure you do.
No, I don't.
Your lime colored room filled with $1 million bills?
Yeah. No, it's. I do marketing work, so I have to read that to keep up with things.
What Christoph Waltz movie did you say you saw?
Ooh. Oh no! It comes out of rental. I actually didn't see.
No, it came because it didn't come to town because I knew that Terry Gilliam had done something.
It's on the release thing for today. So stand by. It is called The Zero Theorem.
Okay,
you find it there.
Yep. Christoph Waltz. There you go. It's I guess it's very in line with a lot of Gilliam. It's odd, and if you were in his films,
this one was completed. So that's a plus. So all right, Mark of markdubeck.com.
Yes, thank you.
I really appreciate you coming in. So, you know, we'll have to follow up on the Ethan Hawke situation.
Absolutely. Yeah, we need to find out a lot more about
and
that.
And we'd love to find, of course, you know, the door's always open for you and the family. Just bring Angela and the kids. I know they'd love to be on and try to contradict you.
Well, they would.
I know my daughter does.
This is a very nice family show.
All right, words to live by, sort of a family show.
Thanks, everybody. Happy
Friday. Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Not ones that are going to be broadcast during the trailers during the Super Bowl. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point at WFYI.org.
We gone. Good night, California. Good night, Fort Myers.